and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden, and there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asser. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die."
Wow. Fantastic reading. That was really good. She could have just kept going. That was awesome. The title for tonight is Passion for the World and Your Purpose in It. And it's a great passage of scripture that we've just gone through. Now, what we see here is the world at the very beginning, before it was marred with sin, right? God created this world. He created man. He created woman. And it was perfect. It was, God was pleased. It was just as he intended it to be. Now, something happened, which I know you'll get to in the coming weeks, but sin entered the world. And there became a separation from the intended purpose that God had for us and what then transpired. Jesus came, though, to restore all things to the way they were meant to be. And so, in some senses, what we're looking at tonight is we've got the beginning of the story, and then we jump right through to the Gospels, and we then see, actually, a restoration of the original intent for you and I. Christ has enabled us to fulfill his original plan because he's redeemed us. He set us free from our past. And instead of it being a primarily physical thing, it's actually very much a spiritual thing that he intends to do through our lives. And you'll know what I mean when we get into it. We're going to actually, although we read a lot of scripture tonight, we're only going to look at one verse. Is that okay? So we're going to just look at one verse. But it was great to hear the whole story because, or not the whole story, but a good chunk of the story to get a whole context of what it is we're looking at. But when we look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, we see this. It says, and this is where we started. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." I'm going to stop there. In fact, we're only going to look at two sentences. Of all of that, we're going to look at two sentences. That God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." The very first thing he said to them was, "Be fruitful. Multiply." Right? Now, in the physical sense, what he meant was, have babies. Would you agree? No, you don't. No, that's what he meant, okay? I'm going to tell you. He meant have babies. Now, as the world has moved on, we've done quite well. I don't know what the world count is for babies, but I think at this moment, the population of the world is somewhere around 8 billion. Is that right? 7 and 8 billion. So we've done fairly well in the physical realm. Now, in Genesis, the context was this, was to multiply, But when we look to the New Testament, actually Jesus gives a very similar instruction for you and I. We're also supposed to multiply, aren't we? It says, John 15:8 says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you would bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple." Actually, God has given you and I the exact same purpose he gave to Adam and Eve, but it's in a different context. We are also to multiply. What God has done in our lives needs to be passed on to someone else. Now, in the context in our lives, the fruit that Jesus talks about, it is reflecting Jesus in our attitudes and our actions, but it's also making disciples of Jesus as we are disciples of Jesus. If I'm going to make a disciple, I'm asking that person to join me on the journey that I'm also on. And in essence, making a disciple is making someone just like me. Yes? Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ." Making a disciple is saying, actually, I want you to look just like me. I want your life to reflect Jesus as my life is reflecting Jesus. That's the big call. And you and I have the same purpose. Jesus came to bring back an intent that you and I would fulfill his purpose of multiplying. You are here to multiply. Yes? You are here to multiply. Making disciples. In fact, Matthew 28:19, it says, "We're to go into all the world and make disciples." This is a great call. Be fruitful. Making disciples is spiritual reproduction, passing on the faith to others. We're all called to bring people around us into relationship with Jesus. Do you know each one of us is called with the same calling? You, my friend, and you. What's your names?
Noah.
Noah?
Joseph.
Noah and Joseph. Wow. It's great to meet you. I'm Tyler. Good to meet you. Noah and Joseph, you have a call to bear fruit, to make fruit, to pass on your faith to someone else. Isn't that cool? You look excited. They're excited. They're really excited about this. Noah and Joseph, Old Testament people in the New Testament time. This is awesome, guys. You're right here, living it out, living the dream. These guys, wow. I thought I had to go to heaven to wait to meet Noah and Joseph, but they're here tonight. And you guys can meet them too. They're right over here. I always thought they looked older than that. Nonetheless, we're called to bear fruit. We're called to multiply. God blessed them. He said, "Be fruitful, increase in number." The next thing he says is fill the earth. Do you know, we're called to multiply, but when God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, he wasn't just saying, "I want you to really fill up the Garden of Eden because there's not enough people here." What did he say? He says, "Filled up the whole earth. The whole planet." There's a bigger perspective. And you know, sometimes when we look at our lives, we think we can have kind of tunnel vision that actually the call, you know, if I'm supposed to reach kind of the world, my world is my neighborhood. And that is correct. My friendship circle, the people around me. Yes, that's 100%. But God says, I want you to still look at the world from his perspective. You and I are not called just to Brighton and Hove. You're not called to have a perspective of only reaching your own little community. You and I are called to fill the earth, to have a global perspective, that we look at the world from a big perspective. When Jesus said, "Go and make disciples," what did he say? "Go and make disciples of what nations?" Which nations did he say? Anyone? All. So which nation is that? All. Okay, I'm going to go over this side because this. Which nation is all nation? All nations.
All of them.
All of them. Which one is that though?
Most of them.
Most of them. Oh, we've narrowed it again. If you're going to go to all nations, then which countries are you going to go to?
All of them.
All of them. That's good. You're on track. These guys, they're getting it tonight. All nations. Every planet. Every corner of the earth. We're to go and make disciples. Right, that was the calling to the original disciples. That was when God said to Adam and Eve, "Go and fill the earth." We are to fill the earth with disciples. You and I are called to fill the earth. Go into all the nations of the earth. I think there are 250-something nations. Is that right? David, you're a guru in this side of things. It does vary. It's like 250. So there's a lot of nations. And then there's the unofficial nations as well. So the nations and the unofficial nations. We're to go. There's not a place on earth that we're not to go. I remember hearing a great... Brother Andrew from Open Doors. I was at a conference and he was sharing. And he said something very powerful. He says, there is no nation on the planet that is closed to the gospel. Amen. There's not one planet that you can't go to. But, so the catch to it is that you must be willing not to come out. There's no planet that we can't, sorry, there's no country, there's no nation that we cannot go into with the gospel, so long as we're willing not to come back out. Now, in order for us to have a global perspective, and especially for us playing our part, it requires a response in us, a willingness, an availability. And I remember when I was about 16 years old, maybe 15 years old, we had a youth service, and I don't remember who was sharing, but it was just kind of a similar call of there's a whole world out there that needs to hear about Jesus. And I remember in that service, I came to the front and I said, okay, God, here am I. I'm willing. I'm available for what you want to do in my life. It was an emotional kind of moment, but I went back to my seat and nothing changed, actually. I was going on with school and life and living. I grew up in a village of 500 people, and the nearest city to us was 2.5 hours drive away. If you want to find the middle of nowhere, that's where I was. There was nobody. And so reaching the nations for Jesus is a little bit of a challenge when you're coming from nowhere, Saskatchewan, Canada. Our nearest neighbor, we had to just, you know, we have a joke in our part of the country that if your dog runs away, you don't have to worry because you'll see him for the next 3 days because there's no trees, it's just flat, it's prairie land, and there's no houses, it's just that. Sounds like the place you want to go on holiday, isn't it? Anyways, as life was going on, one day I was at home at lunchtime from school, and about this time I was, again, probably about 16 or 17, and no one else was home, and suddenly I just began to cry. Now, as a 16-year-old guy, how many 16-year-old guys at lunchtime cry? For no reason. Come on, guys. How old are you guys? You guys are... You're 16. Yeah. And how old are you?
18.
And you? 15. Okay. So, in this age bracket, these guys are tough guys. And I can't imagine you guys just at lunchtime for no reason crying. You guys don't look like the type, right? Or maybe you do. Maybe you're an emotional type. That's okay. I wasn't that kind of guy, okay? In fact, there's only a few moments in my life I have even remember crying. Sometimes I wonder if I don't have the capacity to cry. But God somehow has this ability to make me cry. In fact, that's the only times I've ever cried. I remember crying is when God's touched my life. And this was a moment God touched my life. And that response I made at the altar of saying, God, here am I. God took me up on that moment. And I remember this overwhelming sense that God was calling me to Europe, to this part of the world. I'd never been to this part of the world. I didn't even know anyone from this part of the world. Remember, I was in the middle of nowhere. That process led me on to doing a short-term mission trip to Spain when I was 16. And then on to living in Holland for a year when I was 18. Then after getting married, my wife and I lived in Holland for another 2 years. And actually the journey started to move forward as God, they called us to train. We went back to Canada. And then God has called us forward again back to the United Kingdom for the last 11 years. Why? It's because I said, God, I'm available to be part of your big plan. Why England? Why Holland? Why any country in the world? It's because God has called all of us to go into all the world. But the funny thing is, when God says go into all the world, a lot of people think, well, that's someone else. No, it's actually me. It's actually you. It's a response that God is looking for all of us to say, okay, God, here am I. If that's what you want in my life, I'm willing. I'm willing to be your disciple, to make disciples. It's the availability, but then it's the obedience. When God does lead us, he's saying yes to his call. It doesn't just happen. I didn't just show up here. I wasn't in Star Trek, and I just thought, beamed myself to England. There was a process of obedience, of God saying, nudging me forward, and we took steps, all because of God saying, I'm calling you to go into all the world. We also have a response in a global perspective in our prayer, in our giving. You know, in Romans chapter 10, we have a passage of scripture that says the following. It says, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You know, in that passage, there's two things. There's those who preach, but there's those who send. And so I believe for you and I, there's only two options we have. In being part of going into all the world, we're either sending or we're going, but we're part of the big plan. There's no option to not be part of the big plan of filling the earth with disciples. That is our calling. That is your calling. I don't care your age, where you are in the spectrum of Christian faith. The moment you say yes to Jesus, you're part of the mission. You're part of the plan. And so whether you're sending or you're going yourself, either way, you need to be part of it. Whether it's praying, whether it's giving, whether it's going, you need to be part of the mission. It isn't an optional activity. It isn't just for the hardcore Christians that say, okay, you know, those are the hardcore missionaries, but I'll be the kind of the stay-at-home kind of guy, thinking about people once in a while. No, actually, all of us need to be hardcore Christians. That's the only kind of disciple there is the people who give it all up to follow Jesus. What did Jesus say? Pick up your cross and follow me. What was he saying? He's like, actually, you cannot live your life the way you want and be my disciple. It doesn't work that way. You are all in for the mission if you're going to say yes to me. And you know, when it starts right at an age, as children, as young people of us saying, do you know what, God, here's my life. Here's all that I have to offer you. Do you know, I was a nobody from Canada. I'm still a nobody from Canada. But the fact is God can take someone from a village of 500, put them in the middle of Brighton. What a culture shock was that for me. And yet, why was I here? It's only because God spoke to me. He challenged me. He took me up on this willingness I had to follow him. The third thing that we see in this passage is it says to subdue it, govern it. Do you know you and I are called to walk in God's authority, seeing God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven? Do you know what? You and I are agents of the kingdom of God. When we give our lives to Jesus, we are here to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. We are here not to be content with the status quo of the world. But our role and our calling is to bring heaven to earth. Do you believe that? Come on, do you believe that? You guys are agents and not secret agents. We're not undercover in our Christianity. But we're called to subdue it, to govern it, to move according to his will. After Jesus rose from the dead, he said this. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. What was he saying is that if you're in me, if you're in Christ, all authority is back to you. Where do we start in Genesis? We are to govern the world. We're to subdue it. We're to rule. Why? Because we had authority. We relinquished authority to the enemy. Jesus won back the authority. All authority is his. And he says, now I want you to go and bear fruit. I want you to go and represent my kingdom. It's the kingdom of this realm, of this world that we live in, is a mess. But my kingdom is a kingdom of hope and of love and of righteousness. And I'm calling you to represent my kingdom and to spread it everywhere. Be contagious. Be like a disease that people can't get rid of. In a good sense, in Christ, we have been given all authority so that we bring the restoration to the people around us. Do you know what? Because of the fall of man, there is sickness. Do you know, before the point that Adam and Eve sinned, there was no sickness. Isn't that amazing? There was no evil. There was no wars. There was no bad things going on in the world. People weren't dying for needless reasons. All of those things were a result of the fall. Because man chose to walk away. People are now broken. They're in despair. There's oppression. There's depression. There's captivity. But because of Jesus having now all authority, there is an opportunity for new life. Okay? There's an opportunity for healing. Do you know there are people outside of this, the walls of this church, that need to know that Jesus has come to set them free, to heal them. People have broken hearts and broken lives. And you know what? You and I are given the mission to restore their lives through the power of Jesus. Why? Because we've been given that authority to release, to restore. We've been given authority, this mandate. And this mandate is not just for here, but it's for the world. We're agents of the kingdom of heaven to set people free. Guys, this is our calling. In you is the hope of glory. In you, Moses. One of you is Moses? Are you Moses? I've already forgotten. I'm sorry. You're Moses? Joseph and Noah. Oh, I got the wrong Old Testament figures. I'm sorry. Noah, in you. You Noah? Did I already get this mixed up? Both of you guys. Jesus in you is the hope of glory. You and I, in our earthen vessels, carry the presence of God, carry the hope that the world is desperately looking for. You and I have it. Jesus says, I have been anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. What? To preach good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Do you know what? The anointing that was on Jesus is the anointing that's on your life. It's on your life. And you and I need to be like James Bond and activate the calling. We need to step into it. And no one can do it for you. It's something only you can do. In closing, we're called to be part of God's amazing plan. Right, we see right in the beginning of Genesis a picture, right from the beginning, of what we were meant to do. We've got a whole chunk of time in between. It all got messed up. But, you know, we're here to now redeem that. You're here to move and to fulfill that. And I guess at the end of the day, where this all leads to is the response that we have in our hearts as to what God wants to do through our lives. You know, God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't look at your age, where you're from, as a qualification. All he's looking for is people to say, I'm available. I'm yours. I want to be someone who's part of your big global picture. I want to see you do signs and wonders through my life. Why? Because you said, that's what my calling is. You might be called, but you have to respond to the calling. And I think in response, there are three things we can do. Is we can pray. We're going to pray tonight afterwards for the world. That's our part we can play. We can give. We can be the ones who send into the mission field. But we also can be the ones going. I was a teenager when God called me to serve a life on mission. Do you know what? Some of you tonight, maybe God's going to call you. I don't know. But it's our heart, it's our place to just say, God, I'm available. Whatever you want to do through my life. Can I just reiterate the fact that all of us are still part of the mission? Even if you don't go, you're still part of the mission. If your mission isn't globally, as far as going, your mission is still locally. Your mission is still sending. Your mission is still praying. You're still part of the big picture. You do not have an opt-out on this one. God calls you, and God calls me to be part of it. And just maybe as the band comes, if you could just play. I think it would be good to respond to the challenge that God, I believe, is putting forward to us tonight. You look at the book of Isaiah, and we hear God saying, who will go? And really, I think Isaiah heard the voice of heaven in that moment and said, you know what, here am I, Lord, send me. I'm willing to be your voice. I'm willing to be your vessel. And in doing so, Isaiah stepped into a plan that consumed his life, took over his life. And I believe you and I are called to live on purpose. God has given us this great planet to go and subdue, to lead, to bring his kingdom to earth. And so tonight, I guess the response is very simple, is this. If your heart is saying, God, here am I. I want to be part of what you're doing in this time. I don't want to be someone on the sidelines just watching everyone else being part of it. But I want to be part of the mission that you've called me. Then tonight, I respond to you and I say, pick me, Lord. I'm available to your calling. Whatever that looks like, whatever you want in my life, I'm saying, here am I. That's the best we can do, is offer our lives to him. But we give then space for the Holy Spirit to move in us, to speak to us, to lead us in ways that nobody else can do. Who knows what God could do through the lives of the people in this room if we were completely available to him in his great mission. And so at this moment, if this is you tonight, I want you to stand with me. Only if this is your heart. Please don't stand and say, because the person beside you is standing. Because what I'm saying is, when I say, here am I, Lord, I'm saying there is no country I'm not willing to go to. There's no situation I'm not willing to respond to, Lord. It's a big response to say, God, here am I. I want to be part of your big mission. So don't take it lightly. But I believe when we say yes to him, we step into the biggest purpose and the greatest fulfillment we could ever have. We never lose anything when we give ourselves to Jesus. We gain everything. If we hold on to our life, we lose it. But if we lose it for him and the sake of the gospel, you know, we gain life. And so on the count of three, if this is you tonight, I want you to stand with me. I am already standing. Because I've made this commitment for my life. I will follow him wherever he leads me. Whatever country that might take me. I'm willing to go, Lord. This is me. I'm in the game. I'm part of the plan. If you want to join me on this mission. On the count of three, I want you to stand with me. And we're going to pray a prayer of surrender to him. And then we'll transition the night. So on the count of three. One, think about it. Two, is this really what you want to do with your life? Three, I want you to stand if this is you. Jesus. I want you just, for those who are standing, just to put your arms out. Jesus. Jesus. Father, tonight, God, we're not a perfect group of people. We've got imperfections. We've got all sorts of reasons why we shouldn't go. Yet, Lord, tonight, I believe you're calling us to respond to your voice. To be a people who say, God, we're willing to be part of your greater mission. We want to have a world perspective. We want to be people that are available to be part of all that you want. So, Jesus, we say tonight, here we are, Lord. We're willing to be what you want us to be. We're willing to go where you want us to go. We're willing to do what you want us to do. Lord, we tonight sign up for the mission that you've called us to. We sign up. God, I pray that in these coming months, in these coming days, Lord, would you challenge our hearts? Would you take us to task on this response tonight? Lord, I pray tonight even, God, may you breathe your word, your plans into people's lives and hearts, as you have done in my life. Come by your Spirit, Lord. Come by your Spirit, Jesus. Father, I pray that you'd raise up a mighty army for your kingdom that would set people free, that would see people being healed and transformed. Lord, I pray in this group, those who have standing, Lord, I pray as we respond to you, Lord, I pray that you come with boldness, you come with the baptism of your Spirit, Lord. God, that we would be equipped for every good work that you've called us to, Jesus. Father, I pray, come by your Spirit tonight, Lord. Come by your Spirit. We welcome you. We welcome you. Jesus. 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 I've got good news for you.
You've just given your life away. We say yes to Jesus, and that's a step of faith. But to give our lives away at this point, you know what? We don't know what the future holds, but God does. And can I just encourage you that the plans He has for you are good plans. He wants to move through your life. He wants to bring fruitfulness in your life. I just encourage you to keep listening to His voice. Stay in step with His Spirit. And I do believe in this room there are people that God is calling and will call in the coming days to do exploits in His kingdom. I don't want you to think of your life of who am I? Do you know who is any of us? But allow God to equip you. Allow God to fill you with everything you need. It's not about you. It's all about Him. Jesus.